Great, thanks Laura. Okay, welcome everybody to this evening's meeting of the Budget Scrutiny Panel. We'll kick off with the usual. So Laura, have we got any apologies?
None received, Chair.
Thank you. We've got copies of the last meeting's minutes. Everybody happy was here for those to be approved?
Yeah.
Anybody? Thank you. Right, are there any disclosures of pecuniary or any registrable or non-registrable interests?
No.
Are there any declarations of party whips? Again, we're saying no. Any questions on scrutiny committee procedure 11.16?
None received, Chair.
Okay then, so we'll crack on to the draft budget for 24-25. We've got the cabinet report. Would anybody, Councillor Hanson, give us a brief introduction, or is
I'm happy to give a brief introduction. I think the first thing I'd like to refer back to the approach report I did previously. So I've set out the context, which was obviously from the MTFS and the structural deficit and the various issues and pressures. And I said our approach to doing this was, firstly, we're going to go through an annual process of looking at savings and also where we can potentially raise income. So we've gone through that process and some of that has now fed in. So some of this where you can see where we've got the positive number coming in, that was from that process. We also looked at, we're going to keep an eye on potential issues and pressures. And again, we've gone through that exercise, and again, that will also appear to the budget. See the pressures.
Can you switch your microphone off, please?
Apologies, guys, I will do.
Thank you.
I mean, another thing we said is we wanted to keep a close eye on the working balance. Obviously, we've got the minimum level of 2.5 million, but to have a robust budget, I don't think we want to go too near that, so we don't want to be floating near that, and that's why we've made decisions to keep the working balance as it is. And I think the other sort of aspect we said is we need to start looking at addressing the structural deficit, but we wouldn't do it in a single financial round. This will be take a number of rounds to do that. And again, I think we've made some progress there, but obviously there's still work to be done. And I think all these aspects from the approach document are showing in the budget, the draft budget.
Okay, thank you. anything to add to that, Simon, that you should be looking at particularly?
No, I think, I'd like to think the budget is not necessarily the easiest document to read, but I like to think a lot of it's relatively self-explanatory, so hopefully the panel will have a chance to have a look at it, and I think pretty helpful to try and answer questions for tonight. And then the other thing is obviously there's the final budget scrutiny panel scheduled for January in detail about the numbers, but particularly how that might impact on services, and it's an opportunity to identify those and maybe invite people along for a more detailed conversation in that final meeting.
I think it's fair, because obviously we don't get the final settlement figure due until Christmas.
Mid-December.
Well, we don't know, but I very often, by coincidence, it comes on the Thursday of the actual cabinet meeting, so it may well be on that basis, it may well be on Thursday, but hopefully before Christmas, definitely. Okay.
All right then, well. Thank you for that. So, I think if any of the members have any questions.
I've got one, if that's okay, Chair. The pressures that you've put down on here are all itemised except reduced management fees from our leisure provider. What was the loss on those? It says pressures include, you could be paid award, so you put on 0.7 million, asset additional costs, etc. and so on, but that one's not costed. I just wondered how much the reduced management fees are losing. Are they written off as well?
2.6, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It might be there.
Or
it might be head of service, sorry, that's not the case.
If we could just mention, if members, when you are quite different. Laura's actually put mention page and number.
Alright, so that was page 12 then, Laura.
To make it easier for
me. Page 12, at the bottom. Very bottom.
Okay, if I can just ask then, just a couple of points, just really to clarify. Page 11, community grants, the £1,000 grant pot to be created. Where are we looking to fund that from?
So, I mean, essentially, there's, as you would probably have picked up, there's been a bit of a windfall this year with this rate pool. So, essentially, it's it comes from that pot. It is a bit of a there are some presentational matters that are including the budget to match various bits of expenditure, but fundamentally it does come from that pot.
So that it sort of appears that windfall is going to cover a majority of the shortfall that we would have been expecting. Have we not got that?
I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a presentation, some technicalities, but fundamentally that is the case.
Okay, because the other areas that sort of are a concern, and again, I don't know whether we've touched on this before, but the housing benefits subsidy, with that ongoing situation with the Cockney's Arms, and I mean, is there any further clarification for that? Because obviously, that's, I think we highlighted that at the last meeting, as being a potential large hold for.
I mean, the answer is yes, it's a concern. We keep working at it, caring, which is one way we're actually caring, someone who's very much on top of it, but we haven't any clarity at the moment. There's a couple of things that can happen in our favour, which might help mitigate or even avoid the issue, but if the Cockney's Arms proposed rent increases are enacted in the full line that they're claiming, then you know, we would have a problem. And again, we're sort of challenging those, and we're hoping that either their regulatory situation will change, and or the government regulation will, the effect of that will mitigate our issues. All of those things can happen, but we just don't know. So it's a fluid and difficult situation. Unfortunately, it's also not quite binary, but the extremes of what we could see are obviously quite significant. So it could be in a sort of couple of hundred thousand, which would be a great situation, up to 1.4 million, which is the worst case scenario. So I think we're pitching it somewhere in the middle, and hoping that we'll be around the worst case that we might experience.
And that 1.4, the worst case scenario, would that roll over into the subsequent following years? Because I know obviously the draft budget for 2025 doesn't include it either.
No, that's correct. So it's an ongoing issue. So what that 1.4 million is, assumes the maximum rent increase times maximum occupation of the properties as we understand them. So we know what properties are involved, we know how many bedrooms they've got. You know what the rental increase is proposed for each property, each sort of bedroom in each accommodation, so we can sort of multiply those out to get to the 1.4 million. So hopefully, if occupancy is lower, which it could be depending on regulation, if the rent increase is lower, then all of those things get us to a better number. But worst case scenario, you multiply all these things out, and then obviously in future years with inflation, those rentals might go up. But so it's, I think it's definitely correct to highlight it as a risk. We are working at it and trying to understand the situation and trying to mitigate it, but it's a difficult one and has been a difficult one for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. Number worth mentioning as well, that part of my portfolio is also customer services for ambulance care. It's about half of every conversation we have, which is about this, and I think what Simon is quite right, it is very binding. It could disappear and put us in a much better position. If it goes worse, we're going to have to mitigate for it.
When are we likely to get any indication of what position
it could really spin out? Because I think we're coming to the end of the evaluation of the costs, because they could be detailed costs and we've challenged all of those. I think the next thing is to get a position on whether this is going to go to court, whether there are going to be legal aspects. So if we decide that the costs aren't justifiable, then we can put in an offer to them saying we think what the costs are. We could then negotiate that, or they could basically then make it legal. That could take a year, you know. So this isn't, I don't think, and also there's their own their financial situation as well. So I don't think this is going to be resolved necessarily quickly.
Quiet for a while. Anybody else? Councillor Weston?
I was going to ask the same on because it's not noted in the in the ongoing pressures or the one-off pressures, so it's might have been missed by accident. Anyway, we've discussed that. I wasn't at the last meeting. I listened to the recording today in preparation, but you'll have to excuse my innocence here regarding the numbers which is reported. One of the key highlights of the features is that the general fund working balance remains at around 5.4 million. And if then I look at page 16, and again, forgive me for my lack of knowledge here, the table on the far left, I'm not sure that, is that actual 22-23 or should that be a different?
So that's...
Is that the wrong date?
No.
We go from 6.76 and then we look at April, 1st of April 24 at 6.76.
So the actual 22-23 was where we ended, which was our outturn.
Yes.
And then so the final budget 23-24, so we're setting the budget at this time of year basically.
Yeah.
So we're setting the 24-25 budget before we know what the end game is for 23-24. So in a way the 6-7-6-6 carries forward to the sort of middle draft budget for 24-25. So that's effectively the new starting point for 23-24. Then the 1-2-9-5 is basically what we've assumed would be transports end up going to be used within the 23-24 budget. So if we are bob on with 23-24 when it gets to March, we'll have used 1.3 million. In round numbers terms of reserves, which then gets us down to this 5.5. So what we're saying is for next year, we'll start at 5.5, but we'll end up at 5.5. I mean, obviously, it's how they get to the end of this year, and then obviously how we would perform next year. So if all these numbers came to pass, the probability of which is nil, but if they all came to pass, then that's where we'd end up, 31st of March.
Are we essentially using our windfall this year to cover expenditures over income, the windfall from the business rate, 1.3, was it?
We're using not all of it, so the table seeks to try and identify, but some. So there was a leadership review last year where we sort of hoped this was coming, but we didn't know how much or when. So the leadership review used a little bit of it, and we've set some aside to cover the those staff over the next 2 or 3 years, but then there's a balance, and most of that is used to balance the gap this year. There is still some contingency, and we are hoping that, we are expecting some additional business rate pool monies to flow through in respect of this financial year and also probably next financial year. But as we go forward, that those become less and less certain. So we've got an amount this year, what we've got in here is the amounts relating to 20 up to 22-23, so all the years gone, but then there's 23-24, which we would hope to get something for, because the rules and the distribution are the same, so we would hope to get something. That's all subject to audit, and then 22-23 is due to get subject to audit, then 23-24. You know, the pool seems to be going reasonably well, so we can very much expect some for this financial year, probably this time next year by the time we get it, and then 24-25, based on what I know of the settlement, that we'd like to get something for that as well. So I'm expecting things to change. After that, it becomes much less certain whether the rules will stay the same or... And the key feature is about business rate baselining, which is quite arcane, but I'm happy to talk about it if anyone's interested. maybe not.
That's it, too many takers.
No.
Just looking at the draft general budget on page 15 as well, notice that the net general fund service expenditure is 19.2 million, increasing to 21.6 million in the draft budget. I think that represents the best part of 12 to 13% in terms of increase in expenditure. Am I reading that right, and is that in keeping with probably where you expected it to be?
I think it's yes. So yes, I mean it is. Yeah, there's a step change. So a lot of our costs have increased. Quite significantly. Obviously, the pay awards a big lump, and then there's lots of our sort of contract. We've got big contracts, but lots of the relatively small, but not that small contracts. So things like Microsoft 365, they don't seem to be shy about putting their particular prices up. So we've had a lot of this. So some of the costs have gone up. There's a standard inflation thing. Some of the things we've experienced, which weren't necessarily in the budget, because we didn't foresee them necessarily. But utility prices, some of those have gone up, as you can imagine, 50%. So. Yeah. That's flowed through into, we didn't necessarily reflect it in 23-24, but certainly 24-25 they come through. I think as well as on utilities specifically, I think we had some contracts in place which sort of tapered our exposure initially, but obviously we're now much more exposed to those sort of things.
I think we're pointing out as well, comparing those two isn't strictly correct.
we can. Yeah, so there is a bit of a change in presentation here. So basically, the increase actually is slightly greater than is apparent. So the 929 is included the 19-20. We've taken it out, whereas in this year we've had some sort of advice about the presentation, so we didn't put it in the first place. So it does. So the numbers don't quite correlate, but basically if you look at MRP and interest paid, they're sort of cost to us, but the 19-20 includes them, and then we take them out and then add them back. We just didn't put them in the first place in 24-25, but obviously they are still fundamentally a cost, so actually the increase you're looking at there is probably greater than you've calculated.
So potentially we're looking at increased expenditures over the year based on the draft budget of 15-16%. Is the pay award, I don't know the representation of pay in the overall budget, and it's irrelevant for the purpose of this discussion, but isn't the pay award significantly below that level? So
it is, the pay award is
so I would imagine about, it decreases the overall.
Yeah, it's only about 8-9% of the pay is, it's only about 8-9%. It's still There wasn't a single percentage increase for pay. The 1925, and it's similar this year for all members of staff, whatever the grade is. So if you're towards the bottom of the grade, it's so. But overall, I think it's about 8%. I don't know if Neil wants to dive in correctly, but I think it was 7.98%, something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of pressures throughout. When we're looking at these things, there's a lot of pressures throughout. The pay award's one, but there's lots of inflation and stuff coming through, as you probably easy to imagine, really.
Oh, can I ask another question on the ledgers facility with Fusion? I recall this from the last meeting to the recording. Except that we're not taking our management fee, and it's probably a conversation again for another day, but how likely are we to get any of those fees? And if this is a prolonged issue, I know Councillor Popley mentioned it previously, but if this is a prolonged issue, is there a fear then that we are waiting to see who blinks first? If they were to go bust, we are forced ourselves into a position which we perhaps wouldn't have done if we start to look at finding some other service provider there.
So essentially that's what we're not looking specifically at another service provider at the moment, so we're not starting procurement. What we are doing is getting the procurement documents in shape and putting ourselves in a position that if we do need to do a procurement in a hurry, that we can do. So Matt Bradford's working closely with Max Associates to put this together. So that literally is something that, well, I wouldn't say it's happening now, because maybe they've packed up for the day, but that's something that they are working on now, so that if there is an if we do need to do a procurement quickly, we are in a position to do that. So the whole industry is in a difficult position. If we do the procurement, you know, we might get a better offer, but conversely, we might get very little or no interest in taking this on, because basically all the providers are struggling. So as a sort of what we're sort of doing from a management point of view is monitoring Fusion quite closely. We've got a group of customers of Fusion, so we have a sort of customer group where we discuss things. So it's a bit of a there's a little bit of a game theory thing going on, because if one of us decides to take them to court and insist on our cashback, then it could unsettle and push the whole thing under. So we don't want that to happen. So I think what our view is that we keep, hopefully Fusion survives. We've cut them a bit of slack on the management fee. In exchange for that, we did do some negotiation about a utility price cap. So within the contract there was an arrangement, if utility prices exceeded a certain level, then we would pay some money back. So our sort of quid pro quo was, right, well, if we do this with the management fee, then on the utility price cap, you're going to take the risk and take that on the chin. So that's the deal in place. And at the moment, although the management fee is not what we hoped, we're still in a position where we're providing leisure at zero cost. So at the moment, we've got a service that doesn't cost us anything. So on that basis, there's no reason not to continue to provide it. I think the challenge will come when the contract ends, and apologies, I can't quite remember then, but it's not when, but it's not got enormous amount of time to go, probably 2 or 3 years, I think. So when we need to re-procure, that'll be the challenge, and we'll see what comes out of that. Obviously the big hope is sort of a year or two, things will pick up economy-wise, demand for leisure will increase, and we'll be in a better position with the procurement. But we've obviously got specific issues around, we'll probably need to invest in the Loughborough Leisure Centre out of our three. It's something we need to do. So it's certainly a live issue and something we're looking at now, but again, not an easy thing to deal with in the short term, and certainty, as in many of these cases, is in somewhat short supply.
Can I just, forgive my memory's a bit hazy these days, but during the COVID issue period, we had an issue with Fusion then, and I think we actually supported them, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
The funds that we put into Fusion then, have they been written off, or are they still owing?
I think we've written off some, so I think we sort of let them off the management fee as much as anything else. Rather than, I don't think we necessarily put any money in, from memory. My memory is a bit vague, but I think we did allow them not to pay the management. We reported the management fee. There is some debt outstanding. In theory, like the fact that we physically write it off is provided against. We can physically write it off. Again, it makes no difference in reality. We can try and reclaim this from them. But if we march and say, give us our money now, we don't believe they've got it. So I think we're all provided. So I don't think there's £1 million sitting on our balance sheet, which there's any concern that we may not get it. So we haven't got any financial holes like that. But whether we can recover the money, again, a bit of a moot point. So they've not really recovered from COVID. I don't think the industry has recovered from COVID.
Okay. A couple of other things, if I may. On page 12, investment in stock. There's a bugbear for me, this, because we seem to always have lots of money and struggle to invest it in stock. And it's really you know, what are we going to do with that? Because these figures, they just seem to keep going up year on year, and obviously there's a, you know, I think we all need houses, and there's a housing shortage, and you know, we've got a lot of people that would like to move into council properties. It seems there's money there, but it just, we seem to struggle to spend it, and I don't really understand why.
Well, I mean, this would be one where people would be able to give a more detailed answer, but we have struggled with contractors. So I think where we are, I think where we are on the capital programme, on the capital plan amendment, is that we've struggled in the first half of the year. My understanding is that as of sort of the second half of the year, as of now, the run rate is in line with the sort of amount of money available. And probably not explaining this very well, but if we're supposed to spend an amount a month, we are now spending an amount a month. But the first half, we won't catch up. We're sort of underspending the first half of the year. So this obviously presupposes, I think, that the contractors stay in place. And I've not heard anything that's gone wrong with them recently. So I think performance-wise, it is better. It is sort of in line with expectations. So hopefully, we'll be much more in line with the capital plan in terms of expenditure next year. So you know, that's, you know, that's what we budgeted for in terms of performance. Maybe that's, you know, we can obviously talk about it. Maybe a topic for the finance performance screening, because that's
something that should come out. I'm sure it's
a popular topic, so that would be.
Councillor Mayor.
Cheers, thank you, Mark. Just to add up to that one is we have made a couple of cabinet decisions. We have seen them spend, but mainly on voids to get that capital expenditure getting properties back into use. And that's one aspect of it. And another aspect is obviously the contract Tomlinson's, I believe, went into administration. Mm-hmm. So getting the net new contractor in has taken time. But I think second half of the year or the final quarter and running into next year, we'll be spending that. And that's what we put in the budget. We'll be breaking even. Yeah. We're looking to spend all the money that's coming in and reinvest that back into our housing stock.
Okay, then following on from that, since what pertinent question, one of my other questions is going to be, I note on page 20 that the major repairs reserve at the end of the year is zero. And is that in reflection that that's going to be gone? But then aren't we going to need some, you know, isn't that going to be a figure that we're going to need to be replenishing? Because surely we're going to be continually doing repairs on properties.
So I've looked, this is a bit technical, so we can... it's the major repair, it's sort of gestation, it's got a sort of, I think it originates pre-2012 when the housing allowance changed. So there was pre-2012 when the housing subsidy arrangements were in place, and there was a major repairs allowance was something that you would build up as part of the managing the stock at that point. Then the rules changed in 2012, but I think we were one of the many authorities have this balance sitting there, and then it sort of moved into the major repairs reserve, and so it sat there, and then there's some rules around the major repairs reserve. But fundamentally, the reason for using that balance rather than the capital finance reserve is that that reserve is restricted to basically capital expenditure or refinancing debt, whereas the capital finance reserve actually can use that for anything. It can be for revenue or capital. So we're using the less flexible reserve before the more flexible reserve. So we could probably just have gone, well, it will use half of it and use more of the capital finance reserve. So it's just a choice thing. But being less flexible, we've chosen to use that first. And the plan is, I was just speaking to Pete Oliver about this, so the plan is that disappears and then we don't build it up, because we'd probably prefer to use the more build up using more flexible reserves. So this is, I think it's a bit of a hangover from way back when, but you know, the idea is that...
So really, really realistic, and that figure is still live in the accounts, but it's just elsewhere.
I think with the HRA, it's sort of, it's almost like all, you can almost take all the reserves as a, the divided into three pots, but you can almost review it and look at it as a single pot and how we're using that sort of money in total rather than necessarily the individual components.
Okay. Just noting on page 15, there's an item down there, I'm not sure what it is, funding guarantee, £3 million. I'll just explain what that is.
Right, so every year, so in the financial settlement, the government gives us, so there's a settlement funding assessment, and then the revenue support grant, which are all sort of part of the business rate retention, and then the government gives us other grants, so there's various other grants, and there's new homes bonus, which is a sort of popular one, which is sort of continued, and everyone thinks it's going to die, but it keeps lurching on for another year. We've had the services grant, we've had the lower tier services grant, we've had the funding guarantee. So the funding guarantee was just another of these grants that was came, which was a same sort of grant, but it's the first time something had appeared with that particular title. So really it's just a sort of transitional damping grant that the government's given us. So in terms of setting the budget, essentially what we're assuming is the government's going to give us a lump of these grants, but we don't necessarily know what the makeup is. So when we actually get the provisional financial settlement in 2 days, a couple of weeks, it'll actually set that out. So what I know actually since this was written, and what I know is that the core spending power for each county is going to be increased by a minimum of 3%. So including, which in core spending power includes council tax. So I think my sort of rough calculation is that at the worst case will be about 80,000 worse than these figures. So 3% is the minimum, we might get more than that. So I'm hopeful that what we get is going to end up being reasonably, one way or another, reasonably close to what's in the budget. But we don't know the detailed components of those individual grants. We don't know. There might be something else called something else that will do the same thing, really.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting that it will drop some to see whether we are positive or negative on that, because obviously that, again, is going to have some effect.
It's clearly a risk, having listened to the autumn sort of runes from the autumn statement. I don't think it's a huge risk, but there's clearly some uncertainty still there until we actually get the final numbers.
Okay. Sorry, carrying on, if that's okay. Can I ask, you said that you've had this meeting now and you've targeted a certain amount of savings. Is there a figure on that? Because obviously it won't be in here, I don't think, will it?
The savings come from a number of different areas, and some of it is appearing in here, and it's appearing in different things. Some of them are just ongoing improvement savings. Some of them are identifying decision savings, and some of them, others, are based on projects. So basically, there's some areas where we think we can make long-term savings, but we can't do it initially. We need to do a study so we can see where this money's coming from. Now, some of those are pretty defined, and some of them are still fairly vague, to be honest, and certainly some of the ongoing ones. And also they can also be divided into the fact that some of them have got a one-off cost and some of them have got an introduced cost and then we'll go on, like increasing income. You know, we're looking into parking charges, you know, and that should have an ongoing thing. And then if we restate it in terms of an indexing or something, then that will build in as an ongoing thing. So there's a number of these projects. But I believe this one where we've got the change, options for change bond, we actually do have items against that which have been costed, and I think there are certain sensitivities to those, which is why they're not actually listed, but they are actually been identified.
That's understandable. Have we got any sort of target figure on these sort of savings, or is it just you've got to work through that, all of that process?
I mean, it's pretty much in here, but what it's not showing is the carry-on. So some of these, it might take us a while to implement them, so it might only be partially realised in this year, but then they should be ongoing, it might build up. So, you know, this is the thing which I think will probably appear in the MTFS, when we carry the things through there, that we'll see the carry-on from some of those things. And one of the things I think well, we haven't discussed it, but I'll just mention it, is that one of the things was looking at the structural deficit, and on the last MTFS, it was increasing to 1.8 million, I think, this year, and the fact that it, we've kept it down. So remembering the report, I said we want to retard that growth of it. So it was over the MTFS increasing up to 2.5 million. So I think this is what these measures here are. It doesn't immediately disappear, but what we want to do is keep it at that level and retard the growth of the structural deficit. So we're keeping an eye on that as well as the working balance. So I think those are the two things we're really keeping an eye on in this.
Okay. I think Councillor Popley's got his hand raised. Robin, are you? But speak.
Yes, thank you, Mark. Yes, thank you, Mark. It's just on that point you just made. I hope you can all hear me, by the way. I don't understand what Ian's saying, but it's the vagueness of it all in the report, and I think you touched on it really well, Mark. For me, I think it's on page 12 again, where it says the options for change of consideration include a review of the council's car parking provision, etc. And we also know about the office problem. But it's that service reviews across a number of identified services. What are they? It's almost like it's a statement that's been made, but nobody really knows what it means. So if we get a clarification on that, it'd be great. And also, have we got any further along with the office saving? Because that's been going on for a couple of years now, and no one seems to know what's really going on. Thank you.
So, there is a list. Well, there has been some service areas identified for us to have a look at. It is sensitive because these, you know, these things to work through. So we don't want to state, you know, we don't want to state we're doing this with the service and then for it to prove for us not to go through with it. And the service review also does include raising income as well as cost reduction, but nonetheless, if we name a service and put a number specifically against that service, it will raise hairs running. So we do know what there are. There is a list, as Councillor Ashcroft explained. It is a sort of a, there is a long list of a number of items, so there's some pluses in there and some minuses in there. The net of those, and then we've sort of looked at that over a 2 to 3 year period, over the MTFS period. And so the total actually potential net savings comes to a number of over £1 million actually, but some of these are going to take 2-3 years to deliver. Some of them are more vague than others, so we have put a target, for example, against assets. So the target for assets, I think, is about 200,000 to 300,000 over the 3 year period, but that will require us to refurbish some of the property or come up with another solution, do some investment. In the short term, I think what we're looking to do, we've got a number of about 50,000 against that, which is sort of as soon as we'll get some people to take a lease in the ground floor. So it's not a specific number, but we've got those sort of ideas. And some of these things will be pluses, and some of these things will do better than we think, some of them we won't do so well. So but given the sensitivity around some of these things, that's why we certainly don't want to raise it in the document, and certainly one of the things that we would have to do before we are formally going through an organic process, and certainly before we're at this stage, we would have to consult with the unions. So we don't want to raise any hairs unnecessarily and create stress amongst staff. So there are areas we know about, and there is a list, but it's not something we want to publish because we're not comfortable with all that. Some of it's benign, like car parking, and looking at how we, can we reduce garden waste billing costs, because everyone gets an invoice at the moment, so can we do it through, can we give everyone an email instead, which is not as easy as it sounds, but that is, some of the things are like that, but certainly some of the service ones are rather more sensitive, and we certainly don't want to be publishing those at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mayer?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that it's always going to be an ongoing flux. I think if your previous administration did it the same, and we'll be doing it going forward as to the sensitivities. But over in the whole budget, it's not a huge amount. We're going to be spending 21 million on ongoing brushes, but obviously about 70 million in total. So it's a small amount that we're looking to save or to remodel. or to raise. That might be the better way of doing it. But it's a challenge that we set as an administration to officers, just to keep everybody on their toes. You know, we need to be as efficient as possible and deliver services as best as we can, and always look at improving things, and that's where this comes in. And I think car parks, we mentioned, it's not that we're going to double, triple, quadruple car parking charges, but how can we do it better? Is there a better way of retaining money, bringing people in, enticing people? So it's those, and it's, and we've not really car parking charges for 5 or 6 years, maybe post, you know, pre-COVID. So it's one of those where people shouldn't be alarmed that we're looking to review it. It's just a standard report that's coming. Because if we wanted to review car parking charges, we could have done it in May when we came in, or June, and said, actually, we're going to double car parking charges. No, we've not done that. We've looked at got consultants in to do it properly, and whatever their recommendations is, we'll have a look at it when it comes to Cabinet. It'll be a public document, and everybody can have their say in that. But I know Robin's talked about Southfield. That was an option that was spoken about previously. It will feature, but it'll probably feature going forward of what we do with Southfield or what the options are. We haven't changed our minds, as they say, because we haven't been presented with any different options as to whether we leave Southfield or not. Everything has to be on cost and what benefits the council. And that hasn't come to us yet. So if that was going to be a proposal, as big as that, it would have been in this budget. So it's not in that budget, so it means it's not on the horizon at this moment in time.
Thank you. Councillor Popley.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Jordan and Simon, for your contributions. I understand what you're saying, it's just maybe it's a teacher in me, but I don't like vague statements, so I like clarity. The other thing is, on page 15, there's on the part about commercialisation. I see the amount going into that gone down as well in the reserve, or being transferred to the reserve. Does that mean the administration's aims are now going to move away from commercialisation to other areas? Can we just have some clarification on that, please?
No, so the commercialisation reserve has been built up, so we had a target amount of around £1.5 million as being an appropriate amount for that reserve, reflecting future lease events. So we've been putting money in quite happily, but we've now reached a point where we have reached that £1.5 million. Now that can always be recalculated, so this is something Justin Henry does, so based on future lease events, but we calculated we needed £1.5 million. That reserve now has £1.5 million in it, so you know, it's full to the extent we think appropriate. Now we can recalculate and decide we need 1.2 or 1.8, but budget says we needed to get 1.5. We've got 1.5, so we don't need to add to that provision at the moment. We're still very much in, you know, our commercial property portfolio continues to perform well, and you know, it's something we're in for an extended period of time. But obviously, you know, it's something that sort of Justin does review where we are with those properties on a pretty much ongoing basis, so things may change at the moment. We're certainly committed to the portfolio. There's no intention to sell anything. We're just making sure that, you know, should rent cease for a period of time, we've got provision in place to cover that, which is where we think we are at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Anything else you want to
ask? Loughborough Special Expenses, page 23. What can you explain? I see it's employee costs, but can you explain the significant uptick in CCTV costs across Loughborough? Yes, it's up 18.7% in the budget, but when I look online in previous notes, we were spending 74,000 in 22-23, so we've gone up a considerable amount over 2 or 3 years. What's driving that, please?
I think we did discuss this. There was the Loughborough area committee.
Okay.
We did look at some of these costs.
And I can't remember exactly what this was, but I know there's a project looking at CCTV because we can see it as an expense. So if there is one of the cost-saving projects we're looking at is CCTV.
I don't think this is one of Neil's specialists.
Oh, yes, Neil. Neil is desperate to jump in there. Neil.
Yes, thank you. It's certainly not a specialist subject, but from what I gather, excuse me, it's relatively new to me, but the CCTV costs are allocated out on a proportion to the number of special expenses. And from what I understand, the number of cameras has been increased. So cost pools and cost drivers, the cost driver is the number of cameras, and that's increased the charge that's coming through. And obviously more cameras requires more employee costs to run it. So that's my understanding. Okay. But I'm happy to go away and get a more comprehensive answer.
Yeah, that's great, thanks.
Joe, did you want to?
Yeah, just to say, I think that's why I looked at the Loughborough notes. Sometimes the cameras come to their shelf life and you just got to replace them. But also, I think we were at the Finance and Personnel Committee with the police, and they were very complimentary about our CCTV, because obviously then they don't have to spend the money on it. So it's one of those where to keep our communities safe, and we thought we'd invest. But it might just be a flip this year, as we need to pay the money to upgrade everything, that's why it's gone up significantly, and then it comes back down in the following years, but we'll see.
But it's also an income as well. I mean, we at Thurmaston were considering getting rid of Charnwood doing it. We thought, well, nobody contacts us as it's not used. So due diligence, I said, well, shall we just contact them just to see? And there's been suicides or attempted and all sorts of things that have been monitored without us knowing. Exactly. So it is certainly worth it.
Because it's 24/7.
So we're keeping it, yeah.
You're keeping it for
while we're on that page, just one thing on there. Why has Shelford Golf Course has increased by 50% on the cost there? What are we haven't opened there in a couple of years?
Yeah, the Ryder Cup bit has cost quite a lot of money.
It's the sand.
I think it's to do with a bit of reduction in income. So there are the golf course is a challenge, I think. So
I mean, it's not a huge amount, it's just a huge jump, isn't it?
It's also reapportionment some of the costs that we paid to ID Verde based on the new extended contract. So, yeah.
Quick one from me, sorry, this is probably, it is relevant because we're looking at the budget of council tax rises by 3%. Just looking at the Charnwood Constituency Labour Party website, council taxes are too high. Labour will freeze rates this year, pay full with a windfall tax. Is that?
Sorry, what was that?
Sorry?
What are you referring to?
The election kind of drive. When will those council tax freezes come in? Is that?
We didn't. Through you, Jeff. We didn't say the freeze, we said we'd cap it at 3%, which we have.
Oh, I'm just reading it verbatim from the website here. Council taxes are too high. Labour would freeze rates this year, pay for with a windfall tax on energy.
That wasn't in our manifesto. Our manifesto was clear that we'd cap it at 3%.
Okay.
So that might be a website that's referring, but that's not to do with us, unfortunately.
Okay.
I think it's capped anyway. 3% maximum.
Anyway. Yeah. It's freezing.
It's 3% or up to £5, I think, for us. Yeah. So we're not going to £5 for
that. Okay, excellent.
Okay. Okay, any further questions?
No?
No, we're all looking happy. Okay, then. So I presume then.
So, I'd like to really just be clear to the panel just how tight a timescale we're working to your next meeting. So, the next meeting, you will have to agree your final report. So, it's whether you wanted to look at any recommendations you already want to put, or whether you want to do that over the Christmas period by email, but you will need to come to the meeting on the 4th with a reasonably well-formed final report to agree, because then it goes to Scrutiny Commission on the 8th.
Okay. I recall last year we had a bit of a draft report on email to make sure that everybody was happy with it, and then I think we took that to the meeting.
Okay, so that sounds like, so I would suggest I do the minutes from this meeting and then I circulate them everybody with the draft report and people put forward suggested recommendations. So we need to do that so that when we come to the next meeting, something's been formed and that people are so that if there are any amendments to the next meeting that are reasonably minor, we can't sit at the next meeting and write the report because it needs to it'll actually go to follow the Scrutiny Commission agenda.
If I remember rightly, there was just two recommendations.
Generally.
It was three, but two were repeated, I think. So
on that basis, I'll do the minutes of this meeting, send round a draft report to all members of the panel with the two sets of minutes attached.
Will there be figures available then when we get the session?
So we should, we may well not have processed them, but we should be able to at least give a verbal update on where we are. So the settlement's a bit complicated. So those grants I spoke about, we will get a number for those, and that's fine. The other thing you get is you get two numbers. So you get the settlement funding assessment and your tariff for business rate retention. And then you have to run them through the NNDR1 form, which changes every year and is common. And so this year, if you followed it at all, the business rate multiplier for small businesses is, I think that's being frozen, and for standard businesses it's been increased. So we've now got the business rate multipliers now changing, so that adds some complexity. The NNDR1 form, this isn't even a specialist subject, even if you denies it. The NDR1 form is sort of about, it's not like four numbers, it's sort of a big spreadsheet with lots of numbers, and we put it through the model and work out what our business rate retention is likely to be, and then you have to make assumptions about appeal, the success of business rate appeals, and I usually look at my horoscope and come up with a number. So it is quite complicated, but we certainly should know basically what the grants are. We should know from the raw numbers where we are with that. So hopefully I should be able to offer an update. And I am anticipating, based on what the government has said about core spending power and a minimum 3% increase, I'm expecting it to be reasonably close, such that we may be a few tens of thousands down. I'm not expecting us to be 500,000 down. If we are, then I'll have completely misread the situation. But they have said there's an increase in minimum increase in core spending power of 3%. So just looking at where we were last year, hopefully that should be.
Well, I think anything that's a bit more factual rather than estimated for us as a budget committee
I edge through the period, he's always a bit more certain. So I'm not necessarily certain on those numbers, but I'm reasonably confident now we're not going to be miles off. So to the extent that we could possibly leave them, we will update them for what we know by the end of January. But it doesn't give us very long between us getting the numbers and having to report. And we have to Capita need to upgrade their software on Academy for this split business rate pool thing, which we then need to do some of the NNDR1 calculations. So it's all very, very tight for time, but hopefully, certainly, we'll be able to offer an initial view on 4th of Jan.
Okay, super.
Okay, so
thank
I'll pick that up for the next meeting, so hopefully, you'll get to the decision.
Yeah, I can
we'll
do
have
it.
A reasonably well formed report for the next meeting to agree, and also an update from Simon.
And basically, what I'm hoping I'll be able to say is that we're reasonably close to what the budget numbers in totality are reasonably close. That's what I'm hoping to be able to say.
Okay, I think then in that case we've done so. Thank you everybody for tonight. Let you go away and...